You're listening to DraftKings Network.
We were locked in Miami Heat preseason hoops last night, Dan.
No.
We were locked in for Kyle Lowry's first basket as a Miami Heat, even though the stats don't count.
Three-pointer.
Three-pointer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a friend text me, he looks like a Papa Diana.
Still, I thought that
I thought that was harsh.
I thought that Heat culture would stop him from looking like a Papa Reyna. Does Greg Cody, living in Miami all his entire life, know what a Papa Reyna is?
It's like a burrito, isn't it?
It is not.
Okay.
I mean, if you deconstruct a Papa Reyna, he might have an argument.
It is not a burrito. Papa Reyna is absolutely not a burrito. Jessica, do you know what a Papa Reyna is?
Is it like a stuffed potato?
It is a stuffed potato.
Okay, burritos in the neighborhood.
I told you, you walked into this.
I tried to warn you.
It's totally not in the neighborhood. They're in different neighborhoods. They do not live.
It's a capsule of meat.
The burrito lives in the Mexican neighborhood, and the Papa Reyna lives in the Cuban neighborhood, and not all Hispanic things are the same thing.
Except the silhouette of both is very, very similar.
No, one of them is like a baseball.
One of them looks like Kyle Lowry.
That's the way I should have gone there. One of them is more of a log. The other one looks like Kyle Lowry. Heat culture did not get some of the Papa Reyna, the stuffed meat, out of Kyle Lowry?
Well, I think it was a bit harsh because Kyle Lowry's arms are once again defined. He fluctuates some, and he's always going to have that peach. It's just always going to be a thing with Kyle Lowry. He's going to pass a conditioning drill. I'm sure of it.
There's no doubt he has to pass a very rigorous
James Johnson failed this conditioning test. James Johnson, who said he could roundhouse kick a basketball off the top of a backboard, failed this conditioning test.
It is reported to be the toughest conditioning test in the league. I also think that Lowry is just sort of afflicted with a pear-shaped lower half.
Right. And he's looked like that his whole career. Why change now?
No, he's fluctuated. I would say that he has had, it is rare is the basketball player that has weight fluctuations. That's not something you see a whole lot of.
So has his short size over the last, dozen or so years. It's like the evolution of man. They're creeping up.
Does the audience remember Pat Cummings? Because those were the most famous short shorts in the history of the league. Funny, because Pat Cummings was the basketball player. I got to think a whole lot of the audience has no idea who I'm talking about there. This is early. This is Ron Rothstein, Miami Heat. This is 1988 expansion team. A guy, it looked like a guy like us was out there wearing short shorts. And he wasn't very good, but he was their center. And it was a different time in basketball. That player does not exist anymore.
He was a center?
I think he was. Wasn't Pat Cummings a center, or was he a power forward?
Power forward.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Wow, I thought he backed up Cycli.
It's like 6'8".
I also thought that he backed up Ronnie Cycli. Jason Jackson can reminisce with us in a second. I'm texting Barry Jackson here because I want to get Barry Jackson.
I texted Jack McClinton.
Barry Jackson is telling me that he didn't get an invitation from anybody.
Oh, Chris Whittingham said that Barry Jackson was not receptive to the jack-off idea.
Ooh, someone's lying.
Uh-oh. No response.
He says he did
these
not.
These are two of South Florida's most trusted media entities that you're pitting against each other. Who do we believe, Chris Whittingham or Barry Jackson?
Whitty, why don't you come in here and use my phone right now to call Barry Jackson to see if we could get him to do this with Jason Jackson. Wow. I need to know some of the, before we get into what this all is on Saturday night, Jason Jackson, very popular. He's the new voice on the radio of the Miami Heat. Always happy to see Jason Jackson around here. And we are trying to get him, Barry Jackson, so that they can go back and forth, because Jason Jackson doesn't mind a good kerfuffle. Jason, thank you for joining us. What is the backstory on your kerfuffle with Barry Jackson through your eyes, through your prism?
First of all, if you all ruined my 31-year career in this little gathering of ours, there was hell to pay. All right. That's number one.
Yep.
Top of the list. Number two, it would be a What do you all call it, this thing, one more time?
A jack-off.
The jack-off. Yeah. It's Jason Jackson against Barry Jackson. Yep. It is.
First of all, it would be a jack-off, would it not be?
Like, I mean, just, if you want to do Barry, semantics, though, I mean. But it doesn't include Barry. And yes, if you want a hair split, which I don't think is something we should be doing around the jack-off.
Well, first of all, I've been without hair for a decade, so it's not even something we have to consider. You all are out of control per usual. It's great to be with you.
You are professional per usual when putting on your public face. So tell us.
I play golf with you, Jax.
We know the real Jax. So tell us what the backstory is between your. Do you have a legitimate feud?
There's no backstory. Here's what happened. Herb Street, who I love, who I've known since high school in southwestern Ohio, said some thoughtless stuff, and I stopped it in its tracks. And then all the self-hating Canes fans, like the people who are on this show, then came at me like they haven't known me since 1994 and told me I didn't know anything. I'm too close to the program. Yeah, I'm super close. There's a woman in my bed who's an executive in that program. She can hear me screaming about this down the hallway now. So it's ridiculous for us as professional broadcasters. I get the responsibility and the spot that you all are in. I get Herbie's responsibility. Once we start talking about what's inside of people, what is their personal intent, what they believe is their daily focus for the health of the entire university, you've lost yourself. You want to talk about results. You want to go to practice. You want to go on recruiting trips and talk about what you observe. Fine. But to say what's inside of Blake James, what's inside of Jim Strawley, what's inside of Julio Frank, what's inside of Manny, that's where at 49 turning 50, I stop and say, let us remember we all work at a freaking toy store and we're talking about people's children. There's a whole professional game for us to be ridiculous and fanatic in. We have a professional level. But I am the father now of college athletes, so I have a little something, a little hump in my back that I didn't have once before. And so I try to inject a little different perspective. And that's not a beef I have with Barry. Barry just happened to write the article that fired up Herbie. And then Barry and I saw each other in this little tiny hallway with Anthony Chang on Media Day. And he wanted to start talking about it. And I'm like, Barry, first of all, you and I have nothing. Herbie and I have nothing. It's just what befuddled me about when I first covered the Canes back in 1994, I walk into the Orange Bowl. Team had won 58 straight. And then here comes Washington. And who's that running back? Kaufman, whoever the, it was a Napoleon Kaufman, came and ran for 290,000 yards. And everything changed that day. And I got blamed, by the way, Channel 7. Like it was my first game that I had covered for the Canes. Like it was my fault. Like I was at practice all week, bleeping up.
Resident Canes fanatic here. I can't help but see some subtle shots over there. I've been careful while Billy Corbin's out here saying that Julio Frank doesn't care and Barry Jackson's writing that article that says Julio Frank doesn't care. I don't know Julio Frank. I think what Jason is saying right now is absolutely legitimate. That was the first insight that any of us had into Julio Frank caring about the program outside of fighting for it to actually play amidst a pandemic last season. So I think that's a fair defense. But as far as the results go, and as far as Blake James, I think that's fair game, though, Dan.
But Barry Jackson's a reporter. He's not making things up. He's got sources in this market, and he talks to boosters and trustees. My guess is if he's framing that as the president of the university doesn't care, he's not making it up. Somebody that's a booster or a source might be making it up. Barry Jackson's not making it up.
Well, why don't we get Julio Frank on and ask him if he cares? Like that's also a reasonable part of reporting versus somebody that's on the outer tier of the 190,000 people that are on the board because they gave $1 million. There's an inner circle of people that actually run the university, right? The executives that run the university and a smaller group of executive board members that are on the board of trustees. I'm imagining those aren't the ones who are speaking off the record.
The Jack Celebrity Roast, Volume 4.
Excellent transition.
Is this Saturday at the Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. For tickets, you visit eventbrite.com.
Are you getting nervous for your roast?
You have only asked me that question about it. You have not answered for me one time you're going, and I know you're not going, but all you
I
have
thought
done,
my non-answer was
you,
an answer.
You legitimately haven't asked me anything else about it, except each time asking me, am I getting nervous?
Well, and yes, you?
Jonathan,
yes.
What's the problem? Yes. Or was it, I bring it to Broward County,
yeah,
and you can't come out for that on a Saturday night?
Lacrosse mitzvah. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Give Barry Jackson Stu's ticket.
The answer to your question is yes, I am terrified, and I should be,
yeah,
correct?
You should be.
Jax?
Listen, before you, Iree had his insides out. Jason Taylor in his Hall of Fame jacket was fresh off divorce, so imagine what was happening that night.
Ouch.
Oh, and Dwayne Wade, who was good enough to give us some parameters, because sometimes people need some guardrails in their lives, he caught hell too. I actually catch the most hell, and I'm hosting and paying for everything, which is ridiculous. Over the years, I'll just give you the most benign jokes I can give you. Year one, one of the comedians asked my mom, who has not come back, by the way, in fact, that's DJ Laz, ask me about that later. But one comedian said, "Mom, why did you let him out here dressed up like he was taking a family photo at Olin Mills?" And I thought I looked really good that day. Sears reference people for people that aren't dark enough for that. which I did. And while Sears was a major part of my young life, I take great objection to now about my clothing. Second year was, I looked like, Jack's brother minister called, and you have to report to the mosque. They think you ate all the bean pies. that was awesome. What was the last year? Oh, it was the same comedian who's not joining us this year because he got a paid gig. What is that about? Chris Spencer looks at me and says, "Oh, Jack, you look good in your." We wore black for Dwayne's roast. That was our color theme, obviously, with the retirement. He goes, "Jack, that black looks slimming on you." And I go, "Well, look, I lost 20 pounds recently." He said, "Well, it looks like you found it in the lobby."
There it is. I am fascinated watching the precipitous drop from Dwayne Wade to this. That is a franchise has not fallen that hard since LeBron left here.
JT Wade Levitard.
I mean, that's bad. That's bad, Jax.
No, that's not true. And I said this when I talked to Coda the other day. When we had an opportunity now I'll be super honest, as I was with you, Chris Bosh thought I was asking him to be a roaster when I was asking him to be the roastee. And when it came to decide at the very end, he said, "Well, then I'm out." That was the end of that.
Wow.
And what I've come to find over the years, the list of people who've told me no is far longer than the now four people that we've that we have the pleasure of roasting. With you, it was easy to turn to for so many reasons, but I will do this for you. The reason why, and you'll notice the list, there is a personal connection across the board. Dan, since we met in 1994 through our overlap at ESPN to now, I have marveled at what you are to this city and to these people through your writing and through this work. And it's a beautiful thing, and we're going to rip your ass open for 90 minutes because of
it. Jax, I imagine that you asked Alonzo Mourning to be a roastie, and he probably said no with a few F-bombs in between.
There was no cussing necessary. I will give you my best Alonzo Mourning. Now, Jax, you know, I ain't going to sit around for an hour and let people make fun of me. You're crazy. That was it.
Who else has said no? Who else has said no, Jax? Who else?
You take one guess. Take one guess who said no. Stay within the organization.
Pat Riley.
Riley,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, yeah. Like, not happening.
Yeah, no question.
Not happening.
Whittingham, do we have a jack-off update?
We do. Oh. I received word from Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, that he can't. He says only because he's rushing to interview 13 Dolphins assistants in an hour.
That sounds really? Like Barry.
Wow.
There's no beef between Barry and I.
That's our Barry.
He wrote a beautiful piece about me that's in the Herald today. And I are fine.
I got the same time? I don't understand this. I can't believe we have 13 assistants. Why do we have one win?
And why is he interviewing all of them?
He's talking to the long snapper coach right
They're
now.
They're all offensive coordinators.
I love the non-reporters mocking the guy who's actually out in the field earning his money. Earning his money by trying to bring the people information. As Jack says on the front end, hey, don't tell me about people's innards. Tell me about what they're actually thinking. Then he says, I'm interviewing 13 assistants, and you laugh at him for interviewing any assistants.
It's a fair point.
That is the world we exist in sports coverage.
I can't believe they have this Jezebel, this Judas, Jason Jackson here on this show. I mean, he's number one. He's got a lot of jobs. He didn't need one more, but he took my job. You're talking to Judas Jackson over here.
Good Lord. Go Browns. Right, let's stay there for a minute, shall we?
So it's going to be awful, correct? It's going to be awful. And
listen, I let it rip, man. I flame it. I do go into standard Jax mode. And for any of your legion of listeners who, by the way, have encouraged something that has frightened me throughout the years, the Dan Le Batard listeners have scolded me for the ticket price. Number one, and then encourage me in many different ways to have a streaming version of The Roast. And so for the very first time ever, I have paid for this roast to be produced as live, if you will. But I have informed that production company that it will be the PG-13 edition of what occurs on Saturday night. But there will be, simply due to the listeners of the Dan Le Batard Show, starring Stu Gatz, we will have a live stream later this month at a much lower price. But what happens in that room on Saturday night, Dan, both causes for people's jawbones and cheek area and their abs to be in utter pain. The thing that's interesting this year, more than any other year, is that you have so much out there from a content standpoint that I'm looking forward to how people incorporate that into their MO. Photos, videos, hat sizes, all of that will be a part of this.
You're locking up phones, right? You're locking up phones like Chappelle.
Right after I take people's money. Yeah, after everybody paid for, Ron McGill's endowment, which, by the way, is that a joke already prepared, by the way, the conservation endowment?
That's right.
I think one of my corporate partners started tweeting out, what a lovely endowment.
That's right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they've already started in with the jokes. After we raise some money, we have this little pouch, basically, that you drop your phone in, the pouch locks. If you need your phone, there's an unlocking station out in the hallway. You're not going to jack up my stream for the Le Batard fans, and you're definitely not going to ruin anybody's career that night via the Jax roast.
Anything off limits? Anything?
Dan would have had to have told us that by now.
Well, has he?
No.
Oh, wow. Dan, I'm proud of you. I mean,
are you?
Yes,
that
I
means
am.
So much to me, Stu Gatz. You having you really pride? Yourself,
I can't watch it. I don't want to watch it.
You could have just come.
Well, but I don't want to because I don't want to see you get roasted.
Oh, it's an act of generosity.
John, in all seriousness, what are you doing on Saturday?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm just hearing about this.
Do you just need a day off from everybody? Is it?
Listen, it's a Saturday night. I have no idea where my Saturday is going to take me. I'm on the golf course.
Nowhere.
I'm watching college football. I know where it's not taking me, to the Hard Rock to see Dan get roasted. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see my friend get roasted like that. I really don't. I don't. You're harsh, man.
No one's going to ask you for money. You're coming in for free. I'm feeding you. I'm getting you all liquored up. What? I don't understand. We're testing. We're wearing masks. Like, what? Come on, give it to me.
Did you just mutter a maybe I'll go?
The most insincere
thing I've ever heard. And that's saying something for you.
What's the latest I can let you know, Jax? Like Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Friday? What's the deadline here? Sunday, perhaps? I mean,
yeah. How about Sunday at noon? That'll be perfect.
Hey, Jason, thank you again for being an esteemed guest on the Greg Cody Show podcast a few weeks ago. I really, really appreciate that. You're an alumni of the podcast. Give us in ounces an estimated amount of drinking you're going to do Saturday night.
Oh, how about this? This is breaking news. I'm fresh off of a bout with the great pirate disease of gout.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm supposed to be liquorless for the next 6 months, except for Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Got a doctor's note.
That's
yes.
That's a great comedic word, gout. I did not. I keep waiting for people to not have gout anymore, for gout to expire.
Jonathan,
uric acid buildup is real. That is not a fake thing. And I'll be honest with you all. Friday night, I got diagnosed on Friday afternoon after about 3 days of pain that is unusual. But on Friday, there was a certain point where I thought my family is about to be a group of millionaires because I'm not going to make it. And that was just, that's the insurance I purchased. And so it was the worst pain I have ever felt in 49 and a half years. But thank goodness, Dr. Jim Lucido, who is also the podiatrist for the Miami Heat, was kind enough to take care of me. And by the way, that moment I just had a surge of anxiety come over me because I thought I said proctologist. But I do that with podiatrists. It's the worst.
I love the idea of you needing treatment for gout and going to a proctologist just for fun.
The worst part is, look, I'm in just pain, had my colonoscopy. So I literally was at the proctologist. So anyway, I'm supposed to not touch it for about 6 months so that I never have the type of pain that makes me want to end my gloriousness. But we're going to probably, Cody, let's put it in terms of vision. I'm gonna do it until I can't see.
Welcome to the club.
I wish with friends like this. You know, Jonathan Zaslow had gout. I think you realize that. Like, it's a long illustrious list of people with gout. It's you. It's me. It's King Henry. Yeah. It's a medieval disease that's caused by eating too much meat. So lay off the art, better buddy.
Michael, why are you this person? I don't understand what happened. He was such a lovely man last time we visited.
Eventbrite.com, the Jack Celebrity Roast, Volume 4, this Saturday, Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thank you, sir. I'll see you Saturday. Good talking to you. And thanks for considering me or holding me in the kind of esteem that rips my innards open. I appreciate it.
It's the only type of love that I know, Dan. Stu Gotch, you better be there.
He'll be there.
When can I let you know?
He'll let you know Sunday.
You got a spot for me? You got a seat?
We have plenty of opportunities.
All right.
The great thing about anything with your name on it is you can do whatever you want.
I love you.
Not as much as I love you.
I'll text you. What time does it start?
Jeez, don't even get it. Don't even. He's not coming. He's not coming.
About
you're
an hour
the
before.
Best, worst person there is. The Thank best
you.
Of the
you know what? You get me. You know me, Jason Jackson. Thank you very much. That's a compliment.
I don't know how you're spinning this into a win for yourself.
He said I'm the best. Right. I mean, yeah. And the worst.
Ain't nothing like chasing your check down every couple weeks. The best. Like,
hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Mike, Marty Schottenheimer passed away.
Stugatz.
Why do you sound so happy?
How did you say that?
Yeah, you're very excited.
I was not excited.
Unbelievable.
I was merely pointing out that a Browns legend had passed away.
Hold on. That was unbelievable.
Guys, Marty Schottenheimer died. Hey.
Hold on.
And maybe the greatest coach to never win a Super Bowl.
Okay, I mean. Wait a minute. Let's just, everybody, let's Shoddy. Just settle down. Shoddy. Let's all all settle down.
Do you hear?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Do you guys watch Monday Night Football and think of Tua? Do you watch Justin Herbert? We've got a couple of places to make fun of Mike Ryan. Baker Mayfield hasn't been very good the last couple of weeks.
And yo, deflecting much? This is about Tua and Herbert.
I said a couple of places. One of the others was you telling me Herbert was the second best quarterback in the division.
I said third best.
That was just yesterday that you said he was the third best quarterback in the division.
I said statistically, entering Monday night, he was the third best quarterback in the division.
This season only, though, through three games, not through their career.
It's a trick. I think we all want Justin Herbert. We all project Justin Herbert to be elite, one of the perennial top three quarterbacks in that conference going forward. But I think a lot of us were just getting ahead of ourselves entering that game on Monday night. He was all right in that game on Monday night. And I mean, no interceptions, obviously beat a very good team in the Raiders that were still trying to figure out if they're for real, has that big win against Patrick Mahomes, but this isn't about Baker Mayfield versus Justin Herbert. We'll see that on Sunday, Dan. This is about Tua.
Yes, we
are. Yeah. And this is about this show and a nation laughing when it was posed out there by a former Dolphins executive that maybe Justin Herbert was a quarterback to go with in this
draft. Mike Tannenbaum is another person who needs to be invited to this bizarro opposite celebration of Tom Brady's 20 years of excellence that mocks the AFC East. Yes. We're doing a television show. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be there. All of these failed people. Mike Tannenbaum, as a wrecker of two franchises who got it right by saying before that draft, and he was the only one saying it, Stu Gatz, that Herbert was better than Burrow and Tua.
But we kept Sanchez out of that room because he was a bit too good. We kept Rex Ryan out of that room because he was too good. You want Tannenbaum in there? Because he put that team together.
He wrecked two franchises, though. Tannenbaum.
But he put the Jets together.
But he put them together to win a division title when Matt Cassel was going 11-5 for the Patriots as the backup to Tom Brady. The era of dominance, it steamrolled Mike Tannenbaum as well.
Wasn't that the year Pennington and the Dolphins won that division? I think it was, right? I don't think the Jets won the division. They got in as a wild card, and they went to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row, beating the Patriots one time on the road.
But answer my question.
Yeah.
When you're watching Justin Herbert last night, Dolphin fans, you're in pain, correct?
I would find it nearly impossible for a Dolphin fan to watch Justin Herbert play football knowing he could have been theirs without there being some degree of pain. I would find it nearly impossible.
Right.
Because he's that good and you could have had him.
I can't play the audio, but Tannenbaum was really amplifying the measurables when it came to breaking down Burrow versus Tua and Herbert. With Tua, it was more of a conversation of his health. He said flatly it would be irresponsible to take Tua in the top 10, but he was a big fan of Justin Herbert's size and that cannon. And certainly in one very high profile moment that he put himself out on an island, he did well by himself because Mike Tannenbaum nailed that one.
And since then, after the fact, about 5 million people have said, yeah, they should have picked Herbert. But I think right now the situation is we're anointing Justin Herbert as the next great thing a little bit early, and we're burying Tua in his future a little bit early. Somewhere in the middle is right now, absolutely, it looks like they made the wrong pick. But I haven't seen enough of Tua yet to say he's not going to be good. He doesn't have to be Justin Herbert. He just has to be good enough for the Dolphins.
I think that's fair on Tua that we haven't seen enough. I don't need to see any more on Herbert.
None of us need to see any more on Herbert. I don't know what you're holding out for on Herbert. Like, you look at his statistics, they're with the greatest ever over 18 games. Nobody starts this way. Nobody starts this way looking like a quarterback who throws 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 6 times 18 games in.
He's tracking ahead of Marino all-time, only behind Patrick Mahomes in terms of these impressive starts with passing yardage to start a career. There were a couple of odd moments last year. Remember, they didn't necessarily think he was ready to go in Los Angeles. Right. Tyrod Taylor's lung got punctured when he was trying to take a shot, and then it was kind of fortuitous. But there were some puzzling games early on in Justin Herbert's career, but I think he's won 7 out of the last 8 or something like that as a pro quarterback. And
8-1 in his last 9 starts.
He looks really good. He looks a part, and he looks to be a Leaf for a very long time.
He is really good, and that's why their rookie head coach was by far in the best position to win of any rookie head coach, because unlike all the others, they weren't rebuilding. I mean, Austin Eckler, when you compare
Justin Herbert and Tua, you have to mention that the Dolphins have no running back close to as good as Austin Eckler. They don't have a receiver.
Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, they don't have receivers like they do, even though the Dolphins upgraded their receiver room. They don't have an offensive line like that. So Justin Herbert is surrounded with a lot that enables him to be
Waddle
as good as he is.
Waddle is supposed to be better, but based on where he's drafted and just draft projections. Like, I'm not sure Keenan Allen and Mike Williams wouldn't be three catches for 33 yards against the Colts if they played here.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure that every last receiver who played here would be three catches for 33 yards like Waddle.
I mean, maybe Mike Williams, who's turned it on this year, but Keenan Allen.
But he wasn't
last year. I mean, Mike Williams
I was saying that from where they were drafted was my point. Just measurables and how they were considered coming into the league. Keenan Allen was not looked at as the prospect.
Oh, yeah. Justin Herbert has better weapons on offense.
A lot better.
And one of the things that's not really discussed is that defense for the Chargers these last few weeks with Joey Bosa getting after the quarterback, and they got ball hawks. They seem to have drafted very well over there.
Right. Derwin James.
Yeah, they're very good, the Chargers. They've built that
team.
They
lost
really
a lot of one-score games last year, and Anthony Lynn got fired because of it. A lot of bad stuff happened in his games. And I love the way they were coached last night. It's not just crushing the Raiders in the first half, making them look in the first half like they haven't looked all season. It's going for it on fourth and short because you got Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Like, you're on your 40-yard line, you're on the 50-yard line, you're inside your own territory. Oh, I'm going for it. It's fourth and two. I've got Justin Herbert. You should be scared. I'm not scared.
But Dan, to your question about does it hurt to watch Justin Herbert if you're a Dolphin fan, I've been through this twice. I went through it with Marino. The Jets took Ken O'Brien. I am now going through it with Josh Allen. Excuse me, my voice is hurting a little bit. But I'm going through it with Josh Allen. When you have a quarterback, when you take Sam Darnold three and Josh Allen goes three picks later, it stings. It hurts. It keeps you up at night. And maybe Zach Wilson's the answer, but I am telling you, Dolphin fans are in pain right now. Maybe you haven't seen enough of Tua, but you know Justin Herbert's great. And the fact that you could have had him really stings. It just does. And it will sting forever.
This is totally made up, though. The Herbert-Tua debate was not a real debate. This was not even something made for television.
We laughed at it. When Tannenbaum said Herbert, we laughed at it.
It's like criticizing every team that pass on Tom Brady when he's a six-rounder. You know, like it's one of those things that it wasn't ever genuinely a conversation, I don't think. The conversation headed into draft day is, do you take Tua or do you take best player available? Do you package that pick? I never, for one time, heard a very serious debate as to, do we take Tua or Justin Herbert with this pick?
I remember it got leaked in the hours before the draft that the Dolphins were considering taking Justin Herbert, and it led to a meltdown on the internet. Like, we were just so focused on Tua. And I think it, like, this conversation now forgets just how good Tua was in college. He was unbelievable. He revolutionized Alabama offense when he came into that national championship game in that following season when they destroyed everybody. And I remember thinking at that time, you do anything to go and get that quarterback. And before that injury, I still would have maintained, and even after that injury, I would have maintained, you go take Tua. So yeah, you regret it because you would hope that a front office would see something that you don't, but I can't hammer them too hard when I thought Tua was an incredible prospect.
We can all marvel after all of the amount of study, not just how unscientific scouting is, but at the most important position. Imagine this anywhere else in commerce. In a multi-billion dollar organization, the way these people are selected is so imprecise that as we sit here now, and I ask you, hey, Trevor Lawrence, what do you got? Are you totally sure? Are you totally sure? Because he was the number one pick. There was no argument. You weren't hearing arguments. I mean, Justin Fields was coming in and out, but you weren't hearing arguments about this. It was Trevor Lawrence, consensus number one. The only one I heard, Bomani was the only one I heard saying, I'm not totally sure there, and I don't know. Like, help me. Somebody tell me, are you sure? Do you feel like you know how to do this? Because I've seen enough of Herbert to have it be, to me, the reason that I can see it in Herbert is because I'm like, oh my God, I can see it. I can never see it. I'm never right about these things, but there it is. We all see it. It's like, oh, geez, he goes back there statuesque, and he knows where he's going with the football. He knows where he's standing. He's giant, and he's got a hose, and it's accurate.
And that hair.
Yeah, he does have
it's
nice hair.
It's the hair.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's beautiful the hair, hair and how he looks because oh. we attribute him a playing style that it doesn't. We see him throw a deep ball and we're like, wow, thinking he throws a deep ball all the time. His yards per attempt are below Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. His hair is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, but those are the anomalies, though. Mahomes and Herbert, where you know right away how great they are. 90% of the other young quarterbacks, we waffle from game to game. Jets fans, after two or three games, probably thought, what about, geez, Zach Wilson? Wow, he's not very good. Now they think he's very good because he had one great game.
Now we're still thinking about it.
I mean,
it,
that's
to be
pretty silly way to do it, is it not?
Well, but I think that's what fans do. If Tua comes back from injury in London against Jacksonville, and he outpitches Trevor Lawrence, and the Dolphins win big, and Tua has a great game, take the temperature of South Florida then. It's going to be totally different.
Well, when Greg Cody sits here and talks about the fans, I'd love you guys to explain this to me, because we've seen revolutions in the metrics of the other sports, baseball and basketball, where the excitement around the sport, you see the people who are following the sport, just NBA Twitter, you see that they are more informed than they have ever been because they can do all the measurables that tell them, hey, Allen Iverson was kind of an inefficient player when he shot 35 times a game, and we now have numbers that help us in these places. When you say the fans just go from game to game on this, don't you think that in football, as the commerce of football makes an appearance, podcasts about football that explain this stuff well that you can't get on television, where very often it's not explained well. It becomes about courage and guts and will to win and all sorts of nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with measurables. Don't you feel right now that you can answer some of these questions better than you've ever been able to as a fan? Because I think you're still, you've rejected data at every turn. You don't want more. You and Stugatz have been anti-information about sports since you got here. But you love this thing. And underneath this thing, there are a whole lot of people rushing to wanting to understand better what they're watching on Sundays. I believe that the smartest football fans are now a great deal smarter than they've ever been. So
I agree.
You still think fans are like, I'm going to do this from quarter to quarter. You think Stugatz, King fan Stugatz, he just saw Zach Wilson play. He got filled with hope. But mm-hmm. I don't think Stugatz thinks he knows anything right now about what his quarterback situation is.
I think fans are slaves to the bottom line. I think they see that since Tua was drafted, the Dolphins have a better record when he plays a whole game than when he doesn't start. I think they look at big picture stuff like that. And I think the smart fans also realize the Dolphins don't need Tua to be Mahomes or Herbert. It'd be great if he was. They need him to be a very good quarterback, somebody who is shades of what we saw at Alabama, and I think he still could be. That's my realm of perspective.
I just love that I asked you about data, and you went right to wins. Like, you became the exact cliche of what the movement is moving against at that position.
I told him yards per attempt, and he went hair.
I mean, look, data, you get data now on everything. Okay, somebody is 0.87 getting across the line of scrimmage, which is 14th in the league. I don't care. You can have all that, and it's fine. I'm aware of the data. I'm aware of the
data.
No,
you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're aware that data exists. You don't know you don't know who's actually the fastest to the quarterback.
I like Greg's style. No data, just vibes.
Well, you talk about measurables. I think the intangibles still count as well. And one of the intangibles is, can he stay healthy? And that's a question about Tua. That's a legitimate concern.
When you know, though. I mean, with Justin Herbert, if he has a bad game, people aren't going to question whether or not he's good. It's just a bad game.
Right.
Tua, if he has a bad game, you're still wondering.
Well,
you know?
I'm happy you mentioned that, because I've put together a top five most puzzling results over the last 12 months in the NFL, and I was trying to put my finger on, why am I not assigning elite credentials to Justin Herbert like all of my friends? What is it that I just can't get over?
The Belichick game?
Number five, December 2020, Patriots 45, Chargers 0.
That's number five?
Yes. Wow. I don't know if you'll remember this game, but the Patriots won 45-0 with Cam Newton going 12 of 19 for 69 yards. And Justin Herbert was blanked at home in an empty stadium 45-0. Mm-hmm. Number four, week 9, 2020, Sunday Night Football, Raymond James Stadium, Saints 38, Bucks 3. Drew Brees had cooking this day, and if you'll remember, the Bucks then won a divisional round game at the Superdome, 30-20. They were pretty much in control of that game from the jump, and the Saints dominated the Bucks. If you look back on it, Dan, the Bucks, very weird champion last year.
That is unusual. What happened between those two games was very strange.
Yes. Number three.
That's Cody's phone, not mine. Is that a $5 fine for Greg Cody? Yeah.
Yes, it
Dad
is.
Dad vibes. Put it on vibrate. Number three. You guys covered this a little bit yesterday, and I heard Jess's explanation, but I'm still going to go with Steelers at Bills week one.
Jessica's laughing. Are you laughing at the way that Greg Cody is squeezing his phone?
Unlock your phone. He doesn't know.
He's just squeezing
vibrate,
it.
If you hold it tighter, it goes on vibrate.
He is simply squeezing both sides of it. You want it to vibrate. He's trying to turn it off while coughing, and he was just squeezing the sides of it.
You're putting your passcode to put it on vibrate. Like,
I turned it off, for Christ's sake.
It's still on.
No, it isn't.
How old is your iPhone? Do you have Face ID? Look at
that. I don't know if that Face ID.
It's just going to keep making that noise.
The red thing shows. So now
yep, you're good
off.
Now. Yeah,
the red thing.
Well done.
So Jess mentioned that in week one.
It's the off switch.
Jess mentioned that in week one, the Steelers defense was healthy, and that explains why the Steelers won this game. And I'll just say, like, they were still down two scores at halftime. That's a pretty impressive comeback for Ben Roethlisberger, but we did some investigating, and there was also a block punt in this fourth quarter that led to a 17-point fourth quarter for Ben Roethlisberger's Pittsburgh Steelers. Still confusing to me. And number two, remember this one? I know Sue Gotts does. Week 14, 2020, the winless 17.5-point dog New York Jets going to SoFi Stadium and beat the L.A. Rams. Now, a lot of people forget how good the Rams were last year. They made it to the divisional round. They beat the Seahawks in the playoffs. This was a Rams team that was rounding into playoff form, and yet the Jets avoided the winless season and gave you Zach Wilson instead of the number one overall pick there, Stu Gotts. I'm very sorry about that, but that was a weird word.
What does this list prove to us? Justin Herbert, that the one time that Belichick undressed Herbert the way he does every single rookie quarterback he plays against, it means that
Except for Geno Smith.
It means that you don't trust him based on that game?
Just off that game. That's what it is. That and because I wasn't so sold on him on Oregon, and part of me just doesn't want to admit that I was wrong. And number one.
It's a big part of you.
It's a huge part.
Another part of you,
It's that and 45-0 to a Cam Newton that couldn't break 70 yards passing.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Does the entirety of Mike Ryan contain only doesn't want to admit he's wrong?
Yeah. I'm not alone on this. That's every criticism of Josh Allen is soaked in this from every single talking head.
I'm wrong, spectacularly, epically echoing wrong. I said Josh Allen was terrible, and clearly he's like MVP worthy.
What do you do with the last two times Herbert played Mahomes? He has 7 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Justin Herbert's is very good. He's very good. But I'm still holding out hope that I wasn't so wrong.
Whittingham.
Let's go, Baker. Come on, baby.
Did you scream at your television watching Herbert as the guy who has more Dolphins? Like I haven't heard you spit acid at anything other than Stu Gotts the way you do at the last 20 years of the quarterback position for the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, it makes me deeply sad, right? But like we said earlier, I wasn't pining for it. Like, I was really hoping that Tua would be amazing. I thought he was amazing in college, and I thought this would work out, and it hasn't worked out. But I don't experience regret. I just go, man, I wish I have the feeling, not that there are many, but I wish that I have the feeling that Chargers fans have, where you know pretty damn quickly, you don't need to do well if we just got an offensive line, well if we just got some receivers. You watch that dude, you know he's good, and you know you've got a quarterback for a decade. I am unbelievably jealous of a very small fan base.
That is fair, because I think a lot of teams probably would have taken Tua over Justin Herbert in that draft. The one I was referencing, the one that stings and will never stop stinging, is everyone knew that Dan Marino was better than Ken O'Brien, and the Jets still took Ken O'Brien. And I had to sit there and watch Dan Marino's career. So everyone knew that. No one would have taken Ken O'Brien over Marino except my New York Jets.
Witty, as if you were a witness in a courtroom, I want to challenge you to answer this question, yes or no. One word. Have you given up on Tua becoming a very good NFL quarterback?
No.
Okay. The defense rests.
You'll allow it.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
He said yes.
Thank you. Where's my gavel?
What was being prosecuted? What was? What are you defending? Homerism?
I am prosecuting the idea that because Herbert is really good, it means that Tua isn't very good. That's a non sequitur. That's wrong.
Jerry's still out.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around like the evaluation period in today's NFL for a young quarterback. Do you give them 1 year? Do you give them two seasons? Do you give the quarterback 1 year? And if it doesn't work out, do you blow out the existing staff and general manager to make it work with this quarterback? Witty mentioned in passing back here that, well, this is the year that the rookie quarterbacks go back to your standard rookie evaluation process. And I'm not so sure. I think with the introduction of college offenses into the NFL, I think that's forever changed. But I do think it certainly holds water that the Miami Dolphins aren't doing enough to support Tua, not just from the weapons, even though they took Jalen Waddle, but the fact that I still have no idea who's calling plays is very confusing to me, and the fact that last year it was Chan Gailey also confuses me.
Right. Yeah, I think Brian Flores has failed the Dolphins' offense. It's the only strike against his record, and he like has to correct it or else he probably won't survive here. But the fact that he hasn't been able to, the first year he brought in a coordinator from New England that I thought did a good job managing a terrible offense and fired him, then brought in Chan Gailey and then promoted to assistants who we don't know who the actual play caller is. Like, it's the one thing I think that he hasn't been able to figure out, and he has to. He's going to have his fourth try maybe at the end of the season.
Greg, you've covered football for a long time.
Right.
The two coordinators we don't know who's calling the plays is not one I've heard before. I've heard the head coach and the offensive coordinator going back and forth on who's calling plays, and they're being taken away from an offensive coordinator, and you know, maybe a coach won't admit that. But I've never heard this story presented. They've got two offensive coordinators, and just yesterday, Flores is giving ridiculous quotes that's still camouflaging who's calling the plays, none of which work.
Right.
Like, whoever's calling, maybe it's that. Maybe neither one of them wants to be blamed the resume stain of I was calling plays for that.
Not me, it's him.
Right. I mean, in my column of the game Sunday, I wrote they have two offensive coordinators. If they had none, at least they'd have an excuse for this offense. Because it's terrible play calling, no matter who's doing it, whether they're switching calls or whether they're doing it in unison, like a two-man choir, they're bad play calling right now. They don't have a formula. A lot of people have said that online, ESPN folks and others. They have a terrible offense right now in terms of play calling as well as execution. So it makes for a terrible thing. And that's no matter who the quarterback is. That's play calling. That's lack of surrounding talent.
Well, the most infuriating thing is that the Dolphins are at their best when they're down three scores, right? The game opens up for them. They stop being so conservative. They stop throwing so many quick passes, and they look fine. Like, Jacoby Brissett, on a couple of occasions now, has led good second halves because the game completely changes, and he's able to open up an offense. They're so conservative and tight at the beginning of games.
Because they don't trust their offense. And finally,
number one is Saints Packers. Is in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.